I'm the next presenter, and the title of my presentation is Images of Soils, Familiar and Implied, Their Origins and Meanings. You can think of this, as I do, as a very sour-centric presentation where Tom sits back in his office chair, spins around, and thinks, what does soil mean to me? And that's hard to do when you're a research soil scientist with 3 degrees in soil science. So I tried not to think of it in the way I should be thinking in the office, but to think about it as a person, more like the farm boy in southwest Minnesota would think about it. And so I jotted down some terms. The first thing that became really obvious to me is that you can divide these terms into really strongly positive or really strongly negative quite quickly. And there's imagery, pretty strong imagery associated with which direction you go. And so as an advocate or someone who's close to the soil, or maybe even a soil scientist, I think of the fruitful, beautiful, living, life, complex, special, hallowed aspects of soils. On the other hand, others may have the opposite view. The dichotomy here is pretty strong. The barren, infertile, ugly, inanimate death, you know, the symbolic of the grave, actually, simple, ordinary, exploitable. The great majority of people, I'm afraid, though, are represented by the question mark. Either don't think about soil, haven't never thought of soil, or just are indifferent. They don't care. I don't want to take any time away or any thunder away from Ed, who's one of our later speakers, but certainly if you haven't had a chance to look through the book Soil and Culture, you really must. It is in a time where we struggle to find anything new and unique. This is new and unique, without doubt. And so I strongly encourage you, there's copies out there. Springer's the publisher. Have a look.
Meeting discount.
There you go. And, you know, Hardemick and McBratney published that paper about a renaissance in soil science. Well, if this is the renaissance of soil science, I think Soil and Culture is a big part of that renaissance. This is a tool. There's information in there that we can all use in of so many different ways to reach so many different audiences and different opportunities. One of the things I've jotted down, some of the terms that we commonly throw around that regard dirt, land, soil, earth. And again, there's that dichotomy came to me right away. It's like, wow, these are really either really strongly positive or strongly negative. And the association with the negative is, you know, I kind of go back to the feudal system where when you were on the land, you were in a different class. And, you know, I wonder if some of that has translated itself right onto the present day. There's that sort of knee-jerk reaction right away. Someone on the land is just of a different class. The Hollywood image of the sod hick or the hayseed from the country, it's there. On the other hand, the positive images are also really very strong. There's sort of this idyllic image of the countryside, the purity, the innocence, the beauty of agriculture in the landscape, and soil is a big part of that. Throw in a little bit of military terminology and some Monday night football terminology, you know, they're talking about exchanging ground, gaining or losing ground. It's about the land. It could be about the homeland, and I have some lyrics later that talk about that. Trudgehill has a really interesting article about dirt cheap, where he looks through, did a search of poetry and imagery from poetry relating to soil, dirt, earth, etc. But there are other images in the written media. I've always been intrigued by this one, The Soil, a magazine of art, a very interesting title for a magazine. Of course, it only lasted 5 issues, but that may have been as a result of World War I, not a poor choice of title. They certainly had very famous contributors to those 5 issues, published from New York, Munich, Paris, and London. There are also popular media. Now, my favorite book that connects to the soil is Pearl S. Buck, The Good Earth. If you've not read the book, it's about a Chinese peasant family, and the connection to the land in that book is very, very powerful, and a theme that pervades the whole story of that family. And more recently, Dirt, The Ecstatic Skin of the Earth, another very good read, a little bit irreverent for a person who's offended by the term dirt. So soil scientists, you know, it's like Dirt the movie, you kind of have to say, okay, I'm okay with dirt for now. That quote on the bottom by Peter Carey, Alex McBratney pointed out several years ago in this Australian novel where one of the characters was a soil scientist, but secretly romantic. And McBratney commented, do those two have to be mutually exclusive, soil science and romanticism? He never answered that. I don't think anyone did. In the visual imagery, you know, we talk about the written words, but, you know, written words, thoughts always bring up visual images to people. And a couple of these paintings by Millet have always been strong images for me. There are a lot of farm kitchens that have one or both of those paintings or reproductions of those paintings on the wall. There is a real strong imagery there. Millet got into trouble for some of that imagery because he made the peasants look noble at a time when that wasn't the cool thing to do. And there was certainly a sense of a peace in both of the paintings. And they also have, you know, they're landscapes, but there's a strong essence of soil in them. It's not trees and vegetation. It's the earth. It's the ground. Moving more recently, Grant Wood, Iowa's own Grant Wood, was an artist who painted during the Depression, a very dark time in the Midwest, a lot of suffering going on, and yet he painted really quite happy images. And his images of the landscape are known for being rounded, curved, stylized, sculptured. He had this sort of imagery of the soil and the landscape is very smooth and round. And he actually, on the image here, the Arbor Day, he draws soil profiles in the road cut there. The people are small in Grant Wood paintings. The land is large. The land is big. It's a very optimistic sort of style that he had. Prairie Dogs by Janice Lang is an example of true soil art where Janice, who is an NRCS, I don't know if she still is, I've never met her, she still is an NRCS technician, she ground soil pigment, mixed them with clear acrylic, and I thought as a person with very little artistic talent, that'd be ideal for me to get the color of the landscape right if we were using part of the landscape in the painting. So grinding up the soil, it ought to be easier to get the color of the landscape right if you're actually using the landscape in your painting. Sifted through the CD shelf and found a couple of really surprisingly good examples of connection with soil. The first one, red clay staining tired feet of a broken army in defeat. And the other one by Abigail Washburn, like a bleeding man on his native soil, I'll stand my ground. Both of these, you know, they kind of have that dichotomy again, the positive and the negative aspects of soil and the imagery it brings to us in these lyrics. And we can't leave out humor. Gary Larson was pretty merciless to soil scientists and to soil. He has several. I think there's one cartoon of an early dirt molecule where he shows a caveman pointing at, he's got a book out there. There's a hair in my dirt, a worm story. When I was in graduate school, the satirical newspaper The Onion, which occasionally gets taken seriously, which is always kind of funny, said that the Journal of Soil Science from the University of Iowa Dubuque, which of course doesn't exist, they changed their name to the Journal of Hot Rods and Girls so that they could increase the readership. And there's a lot of other politically incorrect things in that article that I didn't put in there. And then, of course, more recently, the satirist Stephen Colbert testified before Congress that I didn't know this. Most soil is at ground level. And as Claudia referred to, we're sort of the Rodney Dangerfield of resources. We don't get the respect. Soil is considered plain, mundane, pitiable even, and even those associated with sort of carry that burden with them as well. And if you're too sensitive, then you know the humor can be too much, perhaps. Contrast that with my last slide about faith, where we know that there are special places, very special places. We have places we call the Holy Land. It's customary for some leaders when they visit a country to kiss the ground. It's a sign of affection for the people. You know, they don't kiss the national tree or the national flower or something. They kiss the land. The French general who helped the Americans during the Revolutionary War, Lafayette, was buried with American soil. When he passed away in France, they had soil from America. He had soil from America brought to be buried with. So there's some very strong imagery there as well. Another example is that there are places where people have to take their shoes off, that they can't trod on this ground. It is so holy that they're not allowed to have any covering on their feet when they're there walking on that earth. It's that special. Well, to quickly summarize here, soil identified as ground, earth, or land is really more familiar. Actually, I was sort of surprised. There are actually quite a few familiar phrases, if you think about it, that we use. And they relate to things that we're dealing with every day, food, farming, politics, essentially, nationalism, sport, military terminology. These references really often fall into a fairly strongly positive or negative category. There's a lot of indifference about soils out there, but the imagery that it is used is pretty, there's a pretty strong dichotomy there. And that, you know, really, I think, comes through to me mostly as the idea that it's this treasured, life-sustaining resource on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's just this lifeless entity that it's like an endless burden and struggle to scratch out an existence on. And lastly, I'm really keen about the soil science renaissance because of things like the book Soil and Culture, the movie Dirt. These are tools that we can use, that people have done some fantastic work to bring things to a higher level of awareness that we can use as soil scientists, as the council, to further the advocacy of soils, to just be an advocate for soil and use these kinds of imageries to reach people. That's all I have. Thank you.